Welcome to episode 463 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The New Testament mentions several different Herods from Matthew 1 to Acts 26. Herod the Great was king of the Jews at Jesus' birth and tried to have him killed. Herod Antipas was king during the ministries of John the Baptist and Jesus. Antipas had John executed and later declined to pass judgment on Jesus, sending him back to Pilate. In Acts 4 verse 27, Herod Antipas, simply called Herod, is mentioned as one of those guilty of the crucifixion of Jesus. Acts 12 speaks of Herod as a persecutor of the apostles, but this is a different Herod, Herod Agrippa the First. Herod Agrippa the First was the king of Judea from AD 41 to about AD 44. He was a grandson of Herod the Great and nephew of Herod Antipas. A series of prefects, of which Pilate was one, had governed Judea as a Roman province for over 30 years. Rome placed Agrippa I on the throne as a client king. Agrippa had spent time in Rome, where he developed a friendship with the emperor Tiberius and the future emperors Caligula and Claudius. These friendships helped him secure his ruling position. Herod Agrippa's grandfather executed his father, Aristobulus IV. His mother was named Bernice. Agrippa was then sent to Rome for safety and education. Agrippa grew up around the Emperor Tiberius's son, Drusus. After his mother's death, he spent his family's wealth and went into debt. When Drusus died in about 23 AD, he left Rome and settled in Palestine near Beersheba. His uncle Antipas gave him a minor official post, but he did not keep it long. As a client of Rome, the king of Judea's job was primarily to keep the peace. Herod Agrippa I knew that if anything was troubling the Jewish population, appeasing them was in his best interest. Apparently, keeping the peace was Agrippa's reason for persecuting the church. Acts 12 verses 1 to 3 reports, King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. Luke specifically attributes Peter's arrest to the fact that it pleased the Jews. Peter was imprisoned with 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him. Herod planned to present him after Passover to the people. The people of God prayed for Peter. The apostle was sleeping between 2 soldiers and bound with 2 chains. The keeper before the door kept the prison. On the night that Herod planned to parade Peter in front of the people, an angel of the Lord entered the cell undetected. A light shone in the prison. Acts 12 verse 7. The angel struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly," and the chains fell off his hands. Verse 8, and the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." Peter did as he was told. The angel continued, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Peter was still trying to determine if this was a dream or reality. Next they passed the first and second ward and came up the iron gate that led to the city. They continued and passed onto a street, and then the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he realized that the Lord had delivered him. He was free, free from Herod and the expectation of the Jews. When it was discovered that Peter had escaped, there was no small commotion among the soldiers. Herod Agrippa was frustrated. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. On a particular day, Herod was in Caesarea and put on royal apparel to give a speech in the theater. The people of Tyre and Sidon had been feuding with him and wanted peace, so he gave a speech on that topic. People liked this speech because as he spoke, some shouted, "It is the voice of a god and not of a man." Herod did nothing to dissuade them. He welcomed the adulation and encouraged them to fawn over him. Acts 12 verse 23, immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. From the information Luke gives, one might expect that Agrippa was suddenly overpowered by worms that consumed him in a matter of seconds, and one can envision how this might be portrayed gruesomely in a Hollywood movie. But Luke does not say that Herod died immediately, only that he was struck down immediately. According to Josephus, the Jewish historian, Herod Agrippa I was immediately incapacitated by a severe pain in his stomach. The pain lingered for 5 days before he died. The book of Acts tells us that the cause of death was worms, parasites probably, directly from the hand of God. The fate of Herod Agrippa I is a graphic reminder that it does not pay to fight against God. While Herod the king is writhing on a bed of pain with worms in his gut, Peter the apostle is free to spread the gospel and serve the Lord. Herod died, but Acts 12 verse 24 says that the word of God increased and multiplied. What are some lessons that we can learn from the tragic end of Herod Agrippa I? It is best to be humble, no matter what we've accomplished in life. Don't believe the hype. Solomon warns us in Proverbs 18, verse 12, "Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor." If we exalt ourselves, we place ourselves in opposition to God, who will, in his grace and for our own good, humble us. People in leadership positions are held to even higher standards. According to James 3 verse 1, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." God had higher expectations for Herod as a leader. He has higher expectations for our preachers, teachers, evangelists, pastors, ministry leaders. God knows just where to humble us. He knows what to do and when to do it. Save your criticism of those in position and authority, because God sits high and looks low, and he has already sent correction by the time we start criticizing or judging. Give all glory to God. The song says, "If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be?" Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 tells us, "It is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." James 1 verse 17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father." In John 15 verse 5, Jesus reminds us that apart from me, you can do nothing. Herod pitted himself against God in seeking to be popular and in seeking to please the Jews, to please men. Paul warns us in Galatians 1 verse 10, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Be careful. Be careful about the compliments that you make. Be careful about how you receive compliments. And be careful about who it is that you're trying to please, man or God. You know, there are many who got their start in the church, who began their careers worshiping and praising God, and then the fame and fortune went to their heads. They began to believe the social media posts. They became intoxicated by the attention. And so many who had promising starts died prematurely from drug overdoses, from suicide, from accidents caused by reckless behavior, or became victims of acts of violence. Father, help us to be humble. Give us hearts that are surrendered fully to you, and help us to take our responsibilities seriously. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.